Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The NBA playoffs are here, and with FanDuel, your group chat's about to be going off. Because right now, new customers can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets if you win. And with live bets, your heart emojis will really be racing from tip-off to the final buzzer. Plus, when you win, you'll get paid faster than your friends can send you a victory gif. Or is it GIF? Who cares? You won! So get the word out to your crew and download FanDuel today. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets if you win. Make every moment more with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Official partner of the NBA.
21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Welcome to 90 Day Fiancé WTF Podcast, a weekly hangout to talk about what the fuck we all just watch on TLC's 90 Day Fiancé. I am Nadia, and with me is my co-host, Lon.
Hey, hey, we're back.
Hey, Lon.
What's up?
I want a jot.
I was going to say.
A jot. A jot. You don't understand my English, no?
That was funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was another word that she mispronounced too. It was cocoa dry.
Oh, that took me a while.
Yeah, that's what the closed caption spelled it, but I'm pretty sure she meant crocodile, but
she did, yeah.
She spelled it as cocoa dry. I'm like, what is cocoa dry?
Yeah. So here's the thing, right? Obviously, they're not my favorite couple, mm-hmm. but I get why they're here. I get why they're here. And automatically, once she started doing that in my head, I was like, she knows what's good TV. Like, she knows what's good TV. I don't think her English is that bad. And those might have been genuine moments. But mm-hmm. there were times you definitely know she knew the cameras were there. And she's like, let's have sex right now on this boat. I'm like, she knows what's going to make people watch. Yeah. She's made for this shit, y'all. Lover or hater, she knows what's good. She knows how to make people watch. She knows how to stay on this show. She knows what she's doing.
Dude, I hate that you understand that she's good for the show. Because yeah. I can't stand them. Sorry, just to back up, just to dial back, listeners, we are covering 90 Day Fiancé, Happily Ever After.
After?
Season 8. My gosh, it has been 8 seasons of Happily Ever After. So we were talking about Jasmine and Gino.
Jasmine. And Gino.
And Gino. Dude, what is up with Jasmine asking him to take 3 pills?
Yeah, again, this is for TV, y'all. This is for TV. She knows what she's doing here. At first, when they were introduced, I rolled my eyes and I was like, yay, not, you know, but then she shows up in her like American flag bikini, just glistening in the sun. Like, she knows how to play up her sexuality. She knows how to say shocking things. You know, she knows how to make Gino uncomfortable. It's all makes for really entertaining TV. Love it or hate it, right? And there are parts where, like, again, no love lost. They're not my favorite couple, but I can't knock the hustle. Like, she knows what she's doing here. And asking him, did you take the... Just making him super uncomfortable, putting his business out there. That's embarrassing, y'all. That's embarrassing. That really is, to even mention that. But she's like, did you bring the blue pills? You need to take 3. Let's make some babies. And you could see, one, he's dealing with, why do you have to put that out there, you know, that I need some male enhancement. But then two, he does look scared. He looks scared. Like, I think sex still scares him and he gets performance anxiety or what. And his face was just like, yeah. And she's like, I want it, you know, and he's already so uncomfortable and stuff. And I'm just like, poor Gino. This poor guy.
I feel bad that they're living off his savings and she still wants to buy a new house.
Yeah.
I mean, are we supposed to be surprised that they went camping for their honeymoon? I mean, all the money went to her butt and the dress, right?
Yeah. And that boat, it was a sad boat, but hey, he's doing his best, man.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a jotch, but it's a boat, you know? You can be on the water, you know? You got to show off the body that he paid for. Come on. Come on.
Yeah. Other things that I caught her saying is describing his teeth as
piranha teeth.
Yeah, piranha teeth.
With your pointy piranha teeth.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. And then when the shower, when she's all like, I got three vaginal infections in that shower. She's good TV, y'all. Yeah. Cannot hustle.
I just cannot stand when she does her meltdowns, right? AKA her fake panic attacks. But other than that, yes, I would agree that she has a lot of catchphrases, buzzwords. I give her that. Like, definitely cannot knock her hustle. I just can't stand when they go over the top. And like, I think we saw from the preview that she's going to have another meltdown because he doesn't want to pay $5,000 for legal fees to bring her kids over to the U.S.
Yeah, I think this episode, and this goes for all the other couples, you know, it was a very familiar pattern to me as recap and then lay the foundation for the story and the narratives, right? And some of it just really seemed manufactured. Like, we covered the last season of 90 Day Fiancé, and in that, they already talked about having a baby, and she already told him that, you know, she had experienced problems previously. And then on this season of Happily Ever After, she's like, I didn't tell him yet, and he's going to be upset. I'm like, what? Yeah, we just saw you, like, tell him. He asked, he wanted kids, and you told him, and you cried about it. And now you guys are going to act like, are you gaslighting us again? Like, you know, we just saw you do that. Yeah. And now they're like, I didn't tell him and he's going to be so mad. I don't know. And I'm like, come on. Come on.
Yeah. So does she have problems conceiving? Is that what she revealed to us previously? I forgot.
Yeah. So she just said that the last time she tried to conceive, she had some fertility issues or she experienced some problems. She didn't go really into detail about what those were, but that was the reason why she was afraid to have children. And that's why she always would try to change the subject whenever he would bring it up. And yeah, and we talked about it and I felt bad. I was like, yeah, I feel bad for her. I didn't know that about her, you know, and I didn't know. So they're laying the groundwork now. Apparently, later on this season, she's going to tell him again, and we're going to act like she never told him. And I'm pretty sure he's going to be like, what? What do you mean? Why didn't you tell me this? We'll see.
All right. I can already see them laying the foundation for The Last Resort.
The Last Resort. Oh, I forgot about that spinoff. Yeah. What is that one again? About to break up or divorce or something?
Yeah, and then they go to a resort and they work out their problems with therapists, marriage counselors. I can already see it. They're going to be on our TV for a while, guys. So
they know how to milk this out.
Yeah, just clutch your pearls. They're going to be around for a while. All right, so moving on to another season 10 alumni, Ashley and Manuel. Who'd have thought Ashley becoming a spin instructor? I give her kudos for that. That's a hard job. It's a healthy job. It's a good job to have. But yes, I take my hats off her. Like, that's a hard job to do. And she continues to be a hustler, I guess, because right now she works in astrology. She does tarot cards and spinning. Anything else to add there? Because I know they still have the same issues as before. When we last saw them on the tell-all, I guess she's still not quite acquainted with his two kids.
Right. For those of us who watch all the shows, we already know about these issues. And for me, again, this was kind of recapping for people who may not have seen last season of 90 Day Fiancé. You know, they brought up the trust issues and how he kind of, I don't know if it was hiding. He doesn't disclose a lot of information, not necessarily that he hides it from her, but he doesn't disclose it to her. Right. And, you know, she wants to know more about his friends, know more about his family. And, you know, the mom reemphasizing, you guys need to trust each other. And I kind of like how the mom got called out. It seemed like they were about to manufacture drama again, because the mom's like, you know, what, you didn't know about them two kids, and what if he got more kids? And I don't know if that was her sister or whatever. And she's like, I think we're spiraling a bit. And that's like, well, I don't know, you can't trust him. And I was like, like, I don't know if she was supposed to say that. I think they were supposed to run with it and maybe, like, again, lay down these foundations of distrust and stuff. And she's like, no, like, she's like deaded that, right?
She put a kibosh on it real quick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hold on. This isn't where we're going. Not at this episode.
Instead of expanding on it, she put nipped it in the butt.
She's nipped it in the butt, yeah.
Yeah. But what's surprising is, to me at least, and maybe I didn't catch this in the previous iteration of 90 Day Fiancé season 10, is that they've known each other for 10 years. So it's been that long. My goodness. I mean, they've stood the test of time, I guess. 10 years is a long time. But the other thing that's shocking is that she has $100,000 in debt and she wants Manuel to sign a post-nup.
That was a new thing, right?
Right. Yeah.
They never disclosed that to us. I think it was always focused on his problems.
Yeah.
And they needed a fresher plot, fresher story. And he's like, what? And I think that was on the previews, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's like, what do you mean?
Yeah. I'm not going to pay for that.
Why are you buying extra pants and shoes with all this debt?
Oh, man. Yeah. So that's Ashley Emmanuel. I thought maybe we can move on to Emily and Kobe.
So if I remember correctly, we liked them, right?
Yeah, we do.
We liked them, but there were some things. There were definitely some things.
Emily wasn't that popular. From what I've scoured the internet, I gather that she's not popular because she does seem very, you know, I hate to use this word, bossy towards Kobe. I don't want to use that word. I think she has every right to kind of nag at him because I'm guessing it's also for the extra drama, but overall, I think they're a cute couple. I like that, you know, they've built a beautiful family. They're still living in their parents' house, you know, in the basement. And FYI, they're pregnant with their third. I don't know if it's going to be featured in this season of Happily Ever After, but currently, if you look at their social media, Emily's pregnant.
Wow.
Yeah.
I remember us liking them, but they definitely were not perfect. I think there were times he definitely said some things out of pocket in reaction, though, to things she was doing to him. Like you said, maybe bossing him around, and he probably didn't appreciate that. She had said some out of pocket things too, and in front of her mom nonetheless, and he had to flash at her and made the mom go, what is going on? This is not healthy, and things like that. But I think overall, I think they were a fun couple. We know that they love each other. I think she caught a lot of heat because he wanted to see his son, but she was horny at the time. And she's like, we need to stop by a hotel and spend some alone time. He's like, I want to see my kids.
Yeah.
And she's just like, I want some time with you. And we kind of went into that too. Like, I think people were divided on that.
Yeah.
I tend to decide with her. Like, I get it. I
think two people are not fond of her forcing him to do farm work. Because remember, he was raking like horseshit or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's the way she approached it. And I think, again, benefit of the doubt here, I think it was all for the drama.
Yeah. It was that she was kind of telling him how, I think.
Yeah.
Like, why are you even bossing him around? That why are you doing it like that? You should get it from the bigger pile. Why are you pulling it down? And they showed little snippets of it, and he's like, they didn't show it when he actually like flashed, but didn't he say, he said something like, shut the fuck up, or I forget. But he said something and it was like, whoa, right in front of her mom, and we're just like, whoa.
Speaking of her mom, dude, her mom's gorgeous.
Hmm.
Man, I wish I could age like that. Like her mom, like
fine wine.
Yeah, her mom is fine.
Yeah,
yeah. That's all I want to say. They are going to Cameroon, the entire family.
23-hour flight. Yeesh.
My goodness. Yeah.
The majority of the luggage was the parents, though, right? Did you see how much? He's like, "Are y'all? What do you say? Are y'all like planning to
move
not
out
live in America?" I forget.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that because I think when you pack for your kids and they have two kids, you have to think about packing the stroller, packing the car seat, packing a lot of stuff. So
yeah, but that was the parents, though, right?
The parents are coming, so their luggage is add on to the Emily and Kobe's family luggage. So yeah, it was a lot, but kind of expected. I'm definitely looking forward to see how these white folks behave in Cameroon.
Yeah, we got a taste of it on the trailer with them like dancing and wearing cultural garments.
Yeah, they look like they're getting a lot out of the trip, right? Like they were having fun, which is great, but we'll see. I'm sure there's like drama.
I didn't know this, but apparently there's like kind of like not a civil war, but definitely civil tension. Yeah. I would say between, I guess, French speaking and English speaking people that I had no idea. And I was like, there we go. There's that TLC learning stuff.
Yeah. Neo-colonialism.
Colonialism.
Right. Yeah. Why? It was such a tongue twister for me. Yeah. So, yes. Thank you, TLC, once again. Speaking of drama, Sophie and Rob, same drama.
You mean Sophie and Kay?
Oh. Dude, what
womp. Yeah, that shocked
shot. Like, why do they have to insinuate that there was something that happened? Like, they were shooting the underwear and, like, the bed being messy and the two of them were talking in bed under the sheets. That, like,
it was so forced, right?
Definitely. So,
it,
contrived.
It seems so
forced. Fabricated.
Yeah. But oh, you said, didn't you say that she was bi? I don't know. She's spending a lot of time there. I'm like, dude, y'all are forcing it now. Like, really, you had to bring up her sexuality? Like, is this what we're working with? Because her best friend is a woman. Surprise. Wouldn't she be? Right? And she's staying at her friend's place, who happens to be a woman. And surprise, that's pretty normal for a woman to have a woman BFF.
Yeah.
This doesn't have to be like sexualized, you know, and Rob is like, I don't know. You know, I don't know. It could be. I'm just like, shut up. Shut up, dude.
They've been doing the most.
Yeah.
So I'm confused. So I guess Rob online cheated again. Well, rather, she found his phone and that's when she, I guess, uncover more conversations that he had. And
I see it from both sides. So here's what happened. He was not honest about the amount, right?
Okay.
Of talking that he was doing.
Sure.
So it's not that he online cheated again. It's that the previous online cheating he was doing, let's just say the count was at 3, maybe.
Yeah.
The count was actually more, that there were more women hitting him up.
Sure.
And he was like, well, you already caught me for the thing. Let's just bunch it all together. I was talking to women, but you were talking to more than you told me. And he said, I lied about it. So I didn't want you to. Yeah.
Bro wants to bundle his online cheating, basically.
He just kind of bundled it all up. Yes, I was online cheating, you know, and it wasn't like this many, it was actually this many, but whatever, right? It's the same. He categorized it as the same, and he was like, I lied about how many women were hitting me up.
Yeah.
I understand her part, of course, that a lie is a lie, but I understand his part in that it's the same issue. And just because like maybe 20 other people said hey or whatever or hi, let's only focus on the ones that I was really, really talking with. Like all these other ones where they're just like, hey, what's up? And I'm just like, oh, hey, what's up? But I'm not really like in it. Those don't really count. We'll just bunch it all together in the same little package. And you'll forgive me for Y'all, I'm a guy, so okay. This is probably another hot take, unpopular opinion, but I get it. All I'm saying is I get it, okay?
You should work as his PR then.
That makes me sound bad, I know. They squashed it, though.
Yeah, they did.
They squashed it, though, but then I get it that it's not honest. Okay, I'll just say I get both sides. He fucked up. He did.
He did.
We can leave it at that. He fucked up. Yeah.
You know what? I have to say, I think at this point, I'm over this whole mess because I thought they've already squashed it during the tell-all, or at least they've talked through it. And we all have to remember as viewers that this is shot like, I want to say 1 or 2 years after the last season.
Oh, after the last season.
Yeah, because...
So wait, production starts 2 years after...
I want to say 1 or 2 years after. So time has passed from the time they shot season 10 till this happily ever after. So we shouldn't be thinking like, oh, this is literally right after, you know, season 10 is over. No, their time has passed because remember I said, was it Sophie? She posted something about it's been 2 years since they got married and she's finally able to post the wedding photos, you know, because I guess they signed an NDA. So she cannot post it in real time. So she can only do it, you know, after the show is over, which she did. And I think most of the cast members did. They post their wedding photos only after the wedding episode is done, has been aired on TV. So time has passed. So we should also bear that in mind that they've continued on despite all this number of months and years that have passed with the same problem. They've been sitting on it or they've still not squashed it. So to me, I'm like over. There needs to be a fresh problem or drama between them, you know?
Yeah.
Like to me, I think what is more fascinating is the fact that we found out that the mom actually lives in Mexico. So I guess Sophie and Rob were living with her mom in Mexico and that she apparently comes up to Texas because she has a boyfriend in Texas.
That's a good catch. I actually didn't catch that. Well, I didn't connect the dots.
Yeah,
she was living in Mexico and I remember that they were also there. I just didn't connect those
dots. Yeah, I didn't connect the dots until this episode and then it makes sense to me like, oh, okay, that's why they were in Mexico because the mom's there. So it makes sense. They're probably staying with the mom and the mom paid rent or paid mortgage for wherever shelter that they're living in.
Yeah. What did you think about her not having her ring?
That whole situation. It's probably just trying to exaggerate things, trying to exacerbate the whole problem. I don't know.
I thought she like flipped it on him though.
Yeah. Like, why aren't you wearing your ring?
Aren't you wearing yours? Yeah. I'd be like, okay, well, let's not talk about mine. Like, I'm not wearing mine because you ain't wearing yours, you know? And she made it about him. And she's like, I knew you had it. And he's like, before he could explain that, like, it wasn't that, like, he took it and hid it from her. Like, she flipped it on him, then changed the subject. And then when he wanted to talk more, she got up and left. And I was like, that's not fair.
Yeah.
I don't think that's fair. Once you don't like what you're hearing, that's so convenient to just get up and walk.
True.
And I'm just like, nah, like, face the music. You know what I mean? Yeah. If you wanted to talk this out and he wants to talk it out with you, but now that you don't like what you're hearing, you're going to get up and walk off. I was like, that's not fair.
Yeah. And she thought she lost the ring. So she didn't even bother with the ring.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oof. All right. Our last couple, Nicole and Mahmoud.
I'm happy to see them.
Me too. Until I found out that Mahmoud was recently arrested for domestic violence charges.
No!
Just last month.
No!
Yeah, and sadly, right after they celebrated their 5th wedding anniversary.
No!
Yeah, so a lot of people actually petitioned for them not to be featured because of this. But can we also have the same energy for Angela and Michael?
Because yeah! Hell yeah!
Not, I mean, clearly TLC is not dropping them both. I mean, these two couples, even though Mahmood is now being charged with a misdemeanor and Angela, obviously, you know, with the whole disappearing act from Michael, like, I don't know. TLC is just, they don't care. They're okay showing abusers on TV. I have to really implore TLC. I mean, we should really implore TLC to do a better background check on people and also to not glorify abusers.
Right. Look, I'm all for Mahmood, you know, not getting airtime or whatever and paying for what he did, taking accountability and responsibility for what he did. And that's cool with me. But if we're going to cancel him, what the fuck is going on with Angela then? It's okay, right? It's okay to not have a person of color on the show who's being abusive, but Angela, who's perfectly comfortable doing it on camera, and she's still there. And not just that, but you use it for views.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, come on. It's disgusting.
Yeah, it just reeks of racism, right? Because it's okay to show Angela abusing a black man.
Mm-hmm.
But God forbid, Mahmood, you know, a Middle Eastern guy, cannot abuse a white woman.
Right.
I mean, obviously he shouldn't, but like, they're both the same, I feel. They're both bad behaviors.
They're both bad, right.
Yeah.
We're not justifying his behavior at all. We're just saying treat them.
There's a double standard here. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. And we see it happens again, even on the preview. She chucks another drink in his face again. Like, she does it all over again. And then she's on the phone crying to a friend. Like, she's the victim. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, to her daughter. Ugh. Yeah. I know. I'm not looking forward to that. And I think we should definitely let our listeners know that we will not be covering Angela and Michael.
Proudly.
And I guess maybe we shouldn't cover Mahmood and Nicole as well, even though, you know, Nicole's looking all cute and stuff and shopping in thrift store and trying to buy used underwear. Or used pajamas. I mean, it's a thrift store, Lon. What do you think? Like, isn't that used? Right?
Okay, yeah. I didn't know they were thrifting at the time.
I think it's a thrift store. I mean, why would you call that kind of store then?
Yeah, it's probably be a thrift store.
Yeah.
Knowing her style, yeah.
Yeah.
Her LA style. There wasn't much to say anyway. They didn't get much airtime. I think you said it all with her looking cute and thrifting. And I noticed she had two different hairstyles. One, the interview hairstyle was different than the documentary style footage that she had. And that was really about it. Showed a little bit of Mahmood, excited to go, but not much in terms of their plot and their story.
Yep.
But that's crazy. How did you found this on Reddit?
I think it was all over the news. I mean, you know, trash TV news.
What?
But yeah. Oh. And Reddit as well, obviously. People were complaining about how, you know, Mahmood is still being featured and so is Angela. And
Big Ed eye rolls.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, Big Ed. And I mean, FFS, man. Liz has moved on.
Has she?
I think she has. She's no longer with Big Ed, so I don't know why they're showing this.
Did you see the trailer?
Stupid. I did. Yeah, she has this cute wedding dress that she tried.
Yeah. So maybe I'm out of the loop. So she has moved on, and this is old footage.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Anyone that's like me, who's out of touch.
I think production started way back when, and a lot of things has happened since they now aired all this season. So there's a gap, right? And I'm pretty sure things happen during the gap. Like, for example, Emily's now pregnant with their third child. You know, and of course, recently Mahmood got arrested. I mean, who knows?
So she just needed to finish this season out, get the paycheck, and then just make it to the final episode and then duck out, right?
Yeah, possibly.
Get that Big Ed money and leave.
Yeah.
Gross.
On that note, Lon, is it too early to ask for your WTF?
So my WTF, and you're right, it wasn't necessarily about what happened on this episode. It's about what we saw that's going to happen in the season. So for me, my WTF moment was finding out that Angela is going to be back, that Big Ed is going to be back. And, you know, Jasmine and Gino, which are not as problematic. Well, they could be sometimes. But for me, the villains, Big Ed and Angela, are back. And as soon as I saw that in the introductory, like, features, I texted Nadia and I was like, are you kidding me? I was like,
the villains
this
are back.
Is going to be a long season. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what the fuck, TLC? What the fuck?
Okay, my WTF is a little bit simpler and basic. It was the fact that Rob has 6 pet tarantula, and I'm not a big spider fan, so...
Arachnophobic.
I kind of have arachnophobia a little bit. But yeah, pet tarantula. I don't know how people do it, but hopefully he's keeping them safe, well-fed,
yeah,
away from people. So, yeah, and of course... finding out Ashley had that much debt.
Oh, yeah. You're right about that. Yeah, that was a WTF for sure.
Yeah. And I wonder if it's just the mortgage. That's not debt. That's like mortgage.
Yeah. That
I mean, yes, technically you owe the bank, but okay.
Watch, you're right.
Yeah.
It's watch it be the mortgage. Oh,
I don't think it's college debt. Yeah.
Where she really do be buying shoes and jeans on credit.
Right. All right, Lon, we've reached the end of our coverage of the first episode of 90 Day Fiancé Happily Ever After, Season 8. I know you and I recently watched Quiet on the
Quiet
Set.
On set.
Oof, that was a hard watch.
Definitely a hard watch. Part of me wants to chalk up the comedy to the times because I can't. And I'm not justifying this, again, I say this, not justifying this at all, but how did people not know then? Like, we can blame Dan Schneider all we want, right? But there were teams of people that had to screen this first and had to get this approved to be on TV. Dan Schneider's the scapegoat, okay? And definitely he has to take accountability for his own actions, for being abusive, for treating people like crap. And obviously he was behind the camera in many of the instances and had the stories and was the one that told the jokes. But seriously, like, this had to go through some kind of approval process, I'm sure. Yeah. Right. And how is this okay with anybody else? And I think too, at the time, I know when I was growing up, having slime and goo and all this stuff like thrown at your face was like, before I knew what a cum shot was, y'all, like, I just thought that was funny. And maybe other people thought it was funny too. And I get it now that I'm older and you know, I've seen things that are purposefully sexualized. And I can't deny, there's no denying that this was definitely sexualized with the phallic symbolisms of a potato or a pickle or a balloon with teats on it. And all that stuff, definitely, right? Ariana Grande saying, I'm thirsty and pouring water all over her body while it's an upshot of her tube top, whatever the fuck, right? Like, totally. There's no getting around shit like that, right?
Yeah.
And these were definitely like super phallic, like really sexualized images and actions to be on Nickelodeon, to be on a kids show. And I'm just wondering, were we all just like, how was so many people like not spoken up about it?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering partly if it was just at the times, because as times change, obviously in retrospect, we look back and we go, yeah, that's hella problematic.
Yeah.
And that's how it is for a lot of things.
Yeah.
Right? It's that's how it is for a lot of things. It isn't until we look back on it and go, ooh, what the fuck? Is that what we were doing back then? Like, what the hell was wrong with us? Like, as a society in general, right? And I think, like, Dan, obviously, aside from being abusive, could very well just be a scapegoat that we're now realizing that this is problematic and we got to point a finger somewhere, you know? But I've said a lot of things already. How did you feel, Nadia, watching all this?
Wow. Where do I begin?
I know.
Well, first of all,
wherever you want to.
Yeah. First of all, I have to say, growing up in Singapore, I wasn't exposed to Nickelodeon because we didn't have, I don't think we have that channel on our TV. It was only much later on that I come to find out about how Kenan Thompson came about, how Amanda Bynes came about, how Ariana Grande came about. and it was from Nickelodeon, right? But I wasn't exposed to Nickelodeon channel that much growing up, so I had no idea what happened. But just watching this documentary and just seeing how those sketches and those skits were, and I'm like, wow, yeah, I think us as a society, we were so different back then. Like, if you think about workplace harassment, it has come a long way, right? Before I touch on the kid, just talking about the female writers and how they felt uncomfortable working in a room full of male writers and having that power imbalance between Dan Schneider and them. Like, I think the talent aside, just how Dan Schneider treat the adults were not right. I think if anything, he should definitely be punished for that, for creating a hostile work environment. And I think I can see how that happened during that era, during that day and age. But now that shit would not jive at the workplace.
And then telling the writers, the women writers, and yes, sex plays a part in this, telling them they had to split the fucking check, like 50% of the paycheck. What are you saying? Like, there's one role and you both have to split it or something. And they were each getting 50% of like one paycheck.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. So there's pay inequity. There's workplace harassment. And then one of them was asked to work overtime at no cost. One of them was asked to not have a personal life. Like, she was being punished for going to visit her family or something like that, or to go see a movie. And he's such a horrible boss. And that's with the adults. With the kids, oh yeah, he's definitely a huge bully. The way he talked down on Jeanette McCurdy, the way he bullies some of his talent, the very covert racism based on the skits that he wrote for like some of the black talents, like it was just, oh gosh, it was despicable. The thing I found out through TikTok is that Amanda Bynes claimed that she had to get an abortion when she was 13 because she was impregnated by her boss.
What?
And guess who her boss was at that time, y'all? And that explains why during, I think, episode 3 or 4 of maybe 2, you know, people were saying Amanda and Dan got really close. And like, then this revelation came out and I'm like, yep, makes sense. I guess they were having some sort of sexual relations, you know, allegedly, right? I feel bad because when Amanda Bynes had her meltdown, it was also during the time Britney Spears had her meltdown. So we kind of all bunched that up together. And I guess us as a collective, we felt like, oh, it's just another kid star gone awry. You know, success got to their head and now they, you know, they wanted to be emancipated. They want to be Buck Wild or whatever. They want to act a fool in public. But you didn't have context. Mm-hmm. You didn't know that she had to go through all this abuse and mental manipulation, right? Just like what Drake Bell went through. And it's unfortunate too, because Drake Bell became a groomer himself. Mm. He was found to be grooming. And so like, it's almost like hurt people, you know?
Right.
My biggest WTF from watching this documentary is how Brian Peck got away with 16 months of jail time. All thanks
WTF? James Marsden, WTF.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Fuck. Yes. Ugh.
Done.
Yeah.
Not supporting that guy.
But you know who James Marsden used to work with a lot?
Dan, right?
Yes, Dan. Dan too. Bryan Singer.
Oh, right. And Bryan Singer has charges, doesn't he? Doesn't Bryan Singer? And
there
have been stories about his
young
parties.
Boys.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. There have been stories about his parties too.
Yep. Yep. Groomer as well. So I think James Marsden looked the other way. He's probably the kind of guy that's like, I'm going to look
so
the other way. Yeah. And I like him. I really like James Marsden. I mean, I freaking grew up watching Boogie's Diner and I enjoyed that show and I like him. He's, you know, he was a hottie.
He's
and...
Cyclops.
I know. He was Cyclops.
He's like,
he always played the other guy too in like drama movies or rom-coms.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. But anyway, yeah, that was very disappointing how Brian Peck got away and he got to work in the same industry, still doing production work, just not working directly with children, but who knows? So
he should have been canceled.
He should have been. I think right now, they're probably going after him. I know Dan Schneider probably definitely canceled. I don't know if he's still working in the same industry, but I also would like to add to what you said earlier is that, yes, Dan Schneider may be the scapegoat, but Nickelodeon enables him.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
For sure.
Nickelodeon should be canceled, if anything, but...
Yeah. And it's crazy to think that it took this long to start talking about protecting children and child actors. Because you're right. It wasn't a conversation back then. Back then, it was like, oh, Britney's going crazy. Or, oh, look, like Corey Feldman. Or look, another child actor that's on drugs now. There must be something wrong with the industry with child actors. Why weren't we taking a deeper look earlier and going, there's got to be issues here. What is going on with these child actors? Like, it isn't really until recently that we're starting to unearth these things and finding these secrets, right? I think it's one of those things, too, that we hear about and we ignore or dismiss. Because I know everyone, if you go in the comment sections, you'll see comments saying, Corey Feldman has been talking about this for years, right? And he has. He has. And I don't think it wasn't really taken seriously until now, I think, that like documentaries. Aaron Carter. Right. That was really bad. And I wasn't a super big fan of Aaron Carter. But then I saw a documentary recently that focused on him and his struggles. I felt bad. I felt bad for him. And he was mentioned and quiet on the set. And I was like, what? Yeah. So it's sad. But I'm happy that now we're starting to really take a look at this, and not just that, but to really say we have to protect and we need better protection and eyes on youth talent, right?
Yeah, on kid actors.
Yeah.
But also like that hostile work environment, man, it has to be better.
That, I mean, yeah, for sure. For sure.
It was so like patriarchal, which is, you know, I guess weird, right? Because, you know, I guess the Western world always prides himself as, you know, the liberators of women, you know, we don't oppress our women, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, when you really pull the curtain to men's world in the corporate environment, regardless of the industry, and that's just very disappointing. But again, I recognize too that we've come a long way, right? And yeah, maybe social media helps with that too, because you have a bad boss, boom, he's exposed or she's exposed, you know, on social media. You know, you work for a crappy company, boom, that company is exposed on social media, whether it's on, you know, wherever, TikTok, LinkedIn, you know, Instagram or whatever. So I think people have more agency now, which I'm glad. But when you're a kid, you know, you're still finding out about yourself. You know, you're struggling to make sense of what's happening to you. And, you know, you're still developing. And I felt bad that these kids go through that. Yeah.
Yeah. Drake Bell's story was, it was a lot. It was a lot to take in.
It's very heavy.
Yeah. I'm glad that he like was really forthcoming about, like you said, you know, how, what he was guilty of himself, but then to hear the root of it and to hear where it stemmed from and to hear his experience, that was super heavy. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah, I don't know how he was able to sit in that chair and just talk about it. I would be beside myself. I would be breaking down and crying a box of tissue away. It's like he had to relieve that nightmare, you know? And you can tell when he sits uncomfortably in his chair and he's like,
he was shifting a lot in his seat.
He's thinking it and he's reliving it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, why?
He couldn't even explicitly say, he just said, just think of like the most unimaginable things you could do to another human being. Paraphrasing here, y'all. And he said, and that's it, because he couldn't get himself to say what happened. He couldn't get himself to put into words the abuse. You know, he did it already with the cops, I believe, when he made his statement, which is what they flash on the screen.
He got the confession on tape, and yet he still went away for only 16 months.
Yeah, crazy. And again, that's why this James Marsden shit is so shocking, because it was those letters. I firmly believe it was those letters that persuaded whoever was in charge of sentencing or whatever to say, oh, well, he's got a shit ton of character statements. That means he's a really good guy who made a mistake. And I'm just like,
yeah.
What? Yeah.
Speaking of which, who's the guy that shot Megan Thee Stallion?
Tory Lanez.
They did the same thing with Tory Lanez. He got a lot of people to write letters for him to reduce his sentence. I forgot if the sentence got reduced, but you have a lot of people writing letters for him. A lot of big names. I actually read Iggy Azalea's letter. And but hers was like so self-serving, man. It was more of like, please give him a reduced sentence or like, you know, be lenient to him because he and me, we're going to collaborate to make music. I'm like, okay, so this serves you more than
oh my gosh. New album dropping 2025. Yeah. What? What are you talking about, Izzy?
Yeah.
Iggy, sorry.
All right. So anything else, Lon, that you'd like to add before we close out?
You know, that's it. We could get into J-Lo another time, but I've really been going into this whole everyone just dragging J-Lo.
We can talk about
right
that
now.
Briefly, but yeah, man, people are coming for J-Lo.
People coming for
I don't know if you've
J-Lo.
Watched the visual album on Prime. It's actually not bad.
I heard it wasn't. So I've seen trailers and I've seen the bits and pieces where it looks almost like some kind of fantasy slash adventure kind of thing. And I'm like, oh, actually, that doesn't look too bad. When I first didn't know anything about it and I saw that, I was like, oh, what? This looks pretty cool. And I was looking for that. And at the time, I don't know why it wasn't recommended. What got recommended was the documentary. Mm. And I was like, no, this isn't the thing I was watching on social media. This doesn't look like what I'm interested in. So I ended up not watching either because the video I was looking for some reason, wasn't popping up. The documentary was, but I didn't want to watch the documentary. And then now, weeks later, am I seeing TikToks about her ruffling her hair and talking about the block and people memeing it. And I'm just like, oh my gosh.
I like the comment. I think I saw it on TikTok. So I guess the block and Mariah don't know her.
It's the Smucker's Uncrustables podcast with your host, Uncrustables. Okay, today's guest is rough around the edges. Please welcome Crust.
Thanks for having me.
Today's topic, he's round with soft pillowy bread.
Hey.
Filled with delicious PB&J.
Are you talking about yourself?
And you can take him anywhere.
Why'd you invite
him? And we are out of time.
Are you really cutting me off?
Uncrustables are the best part of the sandwich. Sorry, crust.
Sweet Tarts dared to combine sweet and tart. But we didn't stop there. We combined soft and bouncy to bring you new Sweet Tarts Gummies Fruity Splits, a uniquely delicious dual-sided gummy with one side that's sweet and one side that's tart, but entirely smooth and squishy. Mmm, a powerfully perfect combo. Sweet Tarts, dare to combine.
Yeah. Or yeah. She owes the block an apology or something like that. They're just like...
She owes the block reparations or something.
Reparations, like yeah. Something like that. I'm just like, oh my gosh. Then one content creator was like, what is this block? What is the block you speak of? Name the streets. We do not know you here. Like, what? Can you tell us about this block that you keep talking about? Like, oh, when I was on the block, running the streets.
Up and down, running the streets. Running just, up and down
just,
the block.
Just a dreamer with a dream. Like, what?
Yeah, so I don't know if you know, but people were giving her shit about the visual album because it's basically her airing her dirty laundry about her love life. And I didn't take umbrage on that because I'm like, okay, fine. She can, because I know, well, not I, but like we all, you know, like I'm not saying I'm a fan, but, you know, I mean, I don't mind her music, but like I'm not a huge fan. But I have been following like her love life. You know, she goes from one guy to another. And so she basically told the story of her love life. And I think the reason to why she's doing this visual album and telling the story the way it's being told is because she's obviously very proud of the fact that she's now back with Ben Affleck, right? Because I guess he was the one who got away Or maybe she's the one who got away. I'm not sure. But it's something to brag, I guess, right? Because this was the love that got away and now they're back together and now they can have their happily ever after. So I guess she wants to show that off, you know? So basically, if you watch the visual album on Prime, it's her telling the story of how she's such a hopeless romantic and she goes from one guy to another because all she wants, she's in love with love. And it just fizzles and then she finds the next love and on to the next and on to the next. And then she found Ben and then they had to break up and now they're back again, you know, like it's basically a story about her being a hopeless romantic. I appreciate the visual album mainly because of the choreography. You know, J-Lo is obviously a really great dancer. And I forgot her name, Paris Goebel, who's like one of the most famous dance choreographer. She's responsible for choreographing, you know, some of the MTVs, I guess, on this visual album. So yeah, I enjoyed it. I think one of her songs is not too bad. I do maintain that J-Lo is not the best singer out there. And I think people do bash her for that. You know, J-Lo,
it's part of the reason of the hate that's coming her way.
Right. Yeah. It's like people are saying, J-Lo, what the hell are you doing? Like, first of all, you're not from the block. Second, don't make any more music because you know you can't sing. And I think because recently people have, you know, again, with the advent of social media, people are outing her for using Ashanti and for using all this, you know, singer that overlays on top of her voice. So they know that it's not her on those tracks. It's Ashanti. It's some other unknown singer. You know, so it's not J-Lo that you're hearing on those popular top 40 tracks that she had released previously. So
coupled with a bunch, and when I mean a bunch, I'm talking a lot of firsthand accounts of people who have met her and had a negative experience.
Right, right. That she lied, basically. Like she's not, she didn't grow up poor, I guess is what she's trying to insinuate, that she grew up rough on the block or whatever. And like someone, like I think you saw that TikTok, that girl that went to school with her said, look, man, you and I know we both went to this really good all-girls Catholic school in an Irish-Italian neighborhood in the Bronx or something. And like, you're not that relatable. Like, stop trying to make yourself relatable and look human or something like that. I mean, it does sound a bit harsh, but I get it. I think, you know, she did start out the video as like, okay, I've left this woman alone for a long time, but I just can't do it anymore. And she started her rant and that, like, okay, we get it. All right. On that note, y'all, save TikTok, please.
Save TikTok. Hashtag save TikTok.
Hashtag save TikTok. You know, ceasefire now. And yeah, hope you all are enjoying our podcast. You know, like, share, subscribe, follow, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. I think I just recently read some review that someone left last year, Lon, and it was so sweet. You know, I think people like our banters. They know that we're good friends. And yeah, really, really appreciate that. So thank you for listening.
Thanks, everybody.
All
bye-bye.
Right. Bye-bye.